the vibe is a very positive one. Everybody is really focused and motivated, and everybody wants to finally get a win. The fact that next year we are all together fighting for world championship title, that of course an extra motivation. Everybody's pushing really hard.
This is Inside E, the Porsche Formula E podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Inside E, and I've really been looking forward to chatting to today's guest to get a real behind the scenes insight into all things technical. So it's a warm welcome to Malte Hünecker, Technical Project Leader, Porsche Formula E. Hi Malte, thanks for joining me today.
Hi Sam, thank you. Thanks for the invitation. Looking forward to our chat.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, let's kickstart, shall we? Because firstly, I'd like to talk to you about your career to give our listeners a bit of an insight into you. And I gather that you started working for Porsche back in 2005. Is that right?
Yeah, that's all right. It's already quite some time that I'm with Porsche. I originally started on the production car side in the vehicle dynamics department. And I was allowed to do a PhD thesis over there on the vehicle dynamics topic. And then I moved to motorsports in 2008. And yeah, then one of the first things I could do there was working on the RSR, working on the 918 Spider project, which was great. And then finally, I would say pinnacle was the LMP1 project, which just started off in 2012 it was. Quite some time ago, and went all the way till end of 17. So yeah, it's quite a while for me with Porsche.
When you look back on the last 15 years or so, you've kind of pinpointed some of the key, shall we say, stages in your career with this iconic brand. But when you reflect, what have been the key highlights for you to date, would you say?
Yeah, I would say the key highlights were, there were a lot of highlights actually. So every phase had its great thing. So working on the vehicle dynamics side for the production car department was great. Was great to get the know-how on the vehicle dynamics side, to get to know the brand, the cars, everything. And then obviously another highlight was being able to join the motorsport department, which was always a dream for myself. And then being allowed to work on a car like the 918 Spider and also RSR. But even last days of the 906 of the RS Spider, I could still do a few things. And so all of these were highlights. And then let's say in classical terms, probably the biggest highlight was obviously the LMP1 project with a great success. I was head of performance during that project, and that was not only big fun but also a really, really great journey with some very good results.
It was just an incredible time for the brand in LMP1 days. But now, of course, you are technical project leader, Formula E. So give me an insight into what your role entails now in this kind of chapter, shall we say, of your career and indeed of Porsche and motorsport.
Yeah, so in Formula E, my role is, in simple words, is to bring a car on the road. And obviously in Formula E, we have quite a few spec parts, so a few things we don't have to care, at least not in the concept and design stage. But then a lot of parts where we need to come up with a concept, where all the design work needs to be done, or the manufacturing. Then on top comes all the software bits and pieces for Formula E, but then also the testing and fundamentally also the racing side of things, as I'm at the same time head of the performance department for Formula E, and that also includes the track engineering side of things. So we are also deeply involved in all the, let's say, the racing craft. So meaning race strategy and just making everything happen. So it's a quite broad field, even though we don't have a full car to develop.
Let's, shall we say, recap on the Porsche rookie season in Formula E, which of course is now completed. And if we just refer to the stats, 8th place in the team's championship with 79 points, 2 podiums, 1 pole position. So from your perspective and the team's, how would you assess the first season? Happy? Expectations fulfilled? What's your kind of analysis of 2020?
Yeah, I would say generally expectations fulfilled. So our goal was to be on the podium at some point in time. We were lucky enough to have that result already during the first race. We were able to repeat it in Berlin and then obviously the pole position. So yeah, am I happy? I would say like 80% probably. I think most important was for us to actually see progress during the racing season. I mean, when you enter in a new racing series, you never know where you end up. Yeah, and it's pure guesswork before you hit the track and race with everybody else. And we know that Formula E is extremely competitive. Quite a few teams and manufacturers are there for a long time. So we really couldn't have any clear idea of where we are before we went into that season. And I think what was positive for us to have a good entry, but then also to develop ourselves further during the racing season. And obviously, I would have loved to win a race, fully honestly, but we have to postpone that to season 7. So, but overall, we are pretty, pretty happy.
Malte, obviously, when we reflect on 2020, no one could have predicted how you know the season would have panned out, shall we say, because of course, due to the global pandemic, after 5 races, Formula E switched to eSports with the Race at Home Challenge. That was then followed by the season finale in Berlin, 6 races in 9 days, an incredibly intense schedule to conclude the season. I'm really intrigued to get your thoughts on this, because what influence did those circumstances have on the development of the Porsche 99X Electric from a technical point of view?
Yeah, I mean, the situation we found ourselves in March this year, was quite special. I see positives and negatives from a technical point of view. I would say positives were clearly that we had time to go into more detail on the weaknesses that we found during the first races. So we had more time than we would normally spend on analyzing data, working on the simulator, etc. So when we tried to recap the first races, I would say that initially we enabled ourselves to improve the qualifying performance, and we probably lost a bit the edge on the racing performance. And so we were focusing on that quite hard after Marrakesh, and we had the time under these special circumstances to do so. And obviously there are also a few negatives. So we still have not been to a lot of the tracks of Formula E. So we've not been racing in Rome, not in Paris, not in Sanya, not in New York. So we are lacking some experience there, and we don't have many samples as in preparation and execution for the different tracks. And also we lack a bit the experience of a really fully packed Formula E season with just some small breaks in between races. So overall, it has changed a lot, but there are really positives and negatives.
And I guess that's one of the key challenges of this highly competitive series, is that there are not many opportunities to collect data, right?
Yes, this is absolutely right. I mean, if you look into a race weekend, there's barely any driving time, yeah, with free practice one, free practice two, quite short sessions. Then you have qualifying, at best two flying laps, and then you go into the race. And then if you have a weekend like we had in Santiago de Chile, it's over pretty quickly and you've not gathered a lot of information. I mean, in Chile, we still went out again with André purely for the sake of gathering data and gathering experience under the very hot conditions and with the thin air in Chile. So, yes, you don't get many samples to calibrate all your tools and operations.
But I guess all being said and done, and the way that 2020 has panned out in terms of the season, I guess it's testament to the team and how they've adapted to the new circumstances, because I guess your approach, as you've alluded to from a technical perspective, had to change quite considerably.
Yes, I mean, what mostly changed was really the way that we operate. I think this is probably true for the whole world, that everybody had to rethink their way of working, of interacting. And I mean, this is what we learned as quickly as everybody else, that much more is actually possible by doing things remotely, working from home, working from different countries, still collaborating. And I think the team adapted to that, to this mode of working, very, very well. And it was possible for the team to really take the good sides out of it. Yeah. Suddenly then people realized, okay, when you sit at home, there's also less distraction. Yeah, there's more time to be focused on one single topic for longer periods of time. I think that was a good achievement of the team to adapt to these circumstances very, very quickly and to then and really keep the momentum of the racing season, yeah, which is also important and a tricky thing, that you don't stop pushing after such an interruption, where at that stage it was completely unknown whether season six will continue again or not. So we just said, yeah, we don't care, simply speaking, and we just keep pushing and try to get as much as we can out of what we've seen and learned so far, and improve our package and to be ready whenever we go racing again.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Trying to maintain that momentum when no one knew how things were going to pan out, and suddenly you found yourself with, you know, in Berlin with a really, really intense schedule, you know, six races in 9 days is, you know, even on paper is a challenge in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not only six races in 9 days, it was also with significantly reduced number of people operating on site. So there was an extra challenge put on top, that we have to do everything with much less resources. And I mean, at the end of the day, it worked out quite well, but it was a challenge. By I mean, that was clear, that was clear up front, and we also saw that during the races. And I would say, to a certain extent, we were also lucky with the number of problems we had to fix, but it's also, to a certain degree, it's operating in a survival mode. And directly after the end of the last race, if you would have asked me what happened in race three in Berlin, I would have really had to think properly what was actually happening there, because it just becomes one big block of racing. And yeah, It's just hotel track, and one race after the other. But it was a good experience, I have to say.
Yeah, very intense, though. I mean, Malte, when you reflect on this rookie season, I'm really interested to get your thoughts, but what do you think are the kind of key technical learnings from this year, would you say?
Yeah, I think key technical learnings, yeah, it's a good question. It goes together with operations. I think when we think about the technical side of Formula E, that's not only the hardware that we develop. At the end of the day, when we go into a racing season, that is frozen. We have homologated our package, and we can't change it anymore. And so any extra performance that we want to squeeze out is either happening on the software side of things or on the operational side of things. And I think these two aspects there, we have learned quite a bit. I think one of the most important learnings was to really experience the intensity of the format. Of course, we have simulated that upfront at the simulator, at test days, that we give ourselves only the time that we will have between practice sessions for a setup change, that we simulate the length of the sessions, etc., etc. But the intensity is still different, and you can't simulate all aspects of that. So I think adapting to this mode, to this very intensive race day, this was, from an operational point of view, where we could take a lot out. But then also the preparation of each single race, because the time is very, very short. At times in the race calendar, we are coming back from a race, then we have 1 week to prepare, and then we travel again to the next race. And as the time is so short during the actual event, the driving time is really, really limited. We need to do a lot of front loading and try and optimize our package and prepare the drivers and us as good as we can on the simulator. And I think there we also learned a lot, and our way of preparing for an event was changing throughout the season. So these are for sure key learnings. Obviously, a few other things you learn as well. You gather data, you can check whether assumptions that you made in terms of loads onto the car, in terms of ambient conditions, in terms of how does racing in a pack influence the cooling of the car, etc., etc. You can learn these things and then either confirm or reject those assumptions that you made. So, of course, there were also a few boxes ticked. But we're also missing a few boxes, yeah. When one of the tracks that is clearly demanding on the hardware, we've seen that last year, is Rome. A lot of drive shafts were breaking in Rome. So these are things that we are still missing with this special way how the season went.
What would you say then was your personal highlight of this season?
That's a very, very, very good question. What was the personal highlight? I would say, I mean, clearly Riyadh race one was a personal highlight for sure. It's always reassuring if you show up and you show that you can be competitive. It doesn't matter in which way everything goes. First of all, you are happy that you're thereabout. But then I think also Berlin race 6 was quite good, because we had a long break. We had lots of time. I mean, lots is exaggerated. We had the month we had, everybody had to rethink everything and to work on everything and improve everything. And then again, you ask yourself, okay, now we've spent 4 months. Have we actually improved? Was it enough? I think we saw good progress there, especially on the racing side of things. So qualifying, we had some good results already in Marrakesh and in Mexico, but we had the feeling we lost a little bit our edge in the races. So we were focusing on that, and that was paying off in Berlin. And for example, also race 9, although we were not happy with the outcome of qualifying, where we started, for example, with André on in the grid in position 18, we were able to end up on position 8, which doesn't sound great as a final result, but was a good achievement to be able to actually go through the field and actively progress in terms of positions throughout the race. That was clearly a step forward, and I would say these are highlights. Obviously, pole position in Mexico was a highlight as well.
Well, without question there, you've just listed them, some really positive points to draw from this season. But onwards and upwards onto season 7. And I know that the team has already started preparing, so I'd love to know how development is going, because you've had no time, no break. It's ready for next year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we are actually in the middle of our testing season. Obviously, testing was influenced by COVID-19, where it's not so easy to go anywhere for testing. And so I think that has a big influence. We have to adjust our choices of test tracks to the current situation. So it's always a compromise, but I think we are still in a good shape, and we are still hitting our targets in terms of being ready on time for season 7.
And I guess from what you've said, Malte, the simulator work takes on even greater significance, right?
Yes, for sure. I mean, simulator has always been important. And yes, under these circumstances, the importance increases again. And you're trying to do as much front loading as you can. I mean, if we think about test days have been reduced again, so track time is really gold. And so every answer that we can gather up front without spending this valuable track time is fundamentally a gain in performance, because it means we can test something else during that time, which maybe we can't do on the simulator. So it's really about trying to do as much front loading as we can and leave the actual track test time to really the few things that are still complex enough that you can only find out during real testing.
So in terms of preparation at this point, going into the second season, what are the key areas that you and the team are working on, would you say?
Yeah, we have quite a few areas, obviously, that we are working on. I mean, on the hardware side, the focus is still very much on squeezing out the last little bit of powertrain efficiency. So that's something that is ongoing all the time. Then on the software side, there's a big focus on energy management, drivability, giving the driver all the tools he need to have at his hands to get through the race as efficiently and as quick as possible, but then making his life at the same time as easy as possible, so not overcomplicating his life, managing a situation that is quite complex for the drivers. But then also there's always something to learn on the spec parts. There's always something to learn on the tire side of things. There's always something to improve on the braking side of things. So it's actually a lot of areas that we are working on, and there's not this one single aspect that we put our attention to.
Marta, there's two points I'd like to pick up on what you just said there. First, I'll start with the powertrain, because I'm really interested to know what the difference is between the season 6 powertrain compared to the season 7 one. Can you enlighten me on that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of things are obviously well-kept secrets, so...
Yes, don't divulge anything.
I mean, fundamentally, the concept of the powertrain stays the same for season 7, and I think that is a good confirmation that we got throughout season 6, because obviously you make a lot of assumptions when you design a powertrain. I mean, a lot of people are not aware actually what the lead times are, how much in advance you actually start to work on these components. So you basically start to work when you have no real experience of that thing. So you have to make a lot of assumptions. And it was good that we could confirm all these assumptions to a very large extent. So that means, yeah, concept stays more or less the same. And then, of course, it's a lot of detail in improvements. And there's not this one silver bullet that we have there on the powertrain side and even on all other parts. It's really in Formula E, it's the small things that separate the fast guys from the even faster ones. And so there's really we try to really work on all areas and improve every tiny detail.
I was going to mention that, the detail element in Formula E. I mean, it's such a competitive series, and these little finer points from a technological point of view make such an impact, don't they? Make such a big difference.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And there's really, really no area that you can leave out. If you think about, I think in Berlin we missed Super Pole two times by one time by 150 hundredth, and wow, another time also by a couple of hundredth. So it's really small things that change your position dramatically in qualifying, but then also in racing. I mean, in racing there's a bit more time to make up for things, but still it's everything is very, very packed. And we can also see nobody is like miles ahead of everybody. Of course, there is a some sort of a pecking order, but it's not that there is a crazy dominance from anybody, and that makes it also at the same time very interesting, and means that we have to work on really everything from technological side of things, hardware, software, but also operations.
Can you also explain to me why the software makes such a difference when it comes to energy management, which is, of course, so important in Formula E?
Yeah, I mean, the energy management task is quite a complex task. At the end of the day, the driver has his energy budget for the full race, but he's also harvesting energy all the time. And so obviously we calculate up front in a clean race what would be the optimal way to go through the race. So the driver has targets, as in how much he is allowed to consume everywhere, how much he needs to recuperate to harvest in terms of energy. And at the same time, it's a very dynamic situation. And so the driver has to react basically corner by corner, and also, let's say, go away from the original targets and make the best of the situation he finds in that instance. And there the software plays a big, big part to make this task for the driver as easy as possible, and to find the right balance between the needs from a pure vehicle dynamic side of things, which is lap time, and the energy side of things, which is lap time again. And we always need to find that sweet spot, and not only in the clean lap, but throughout the whole race. And this is where software plays a big, big role, and also allows us to develop the package throughout the whole season.
You've mentioned the drivers. I mean, they really do play an integral role currently, don't they, when you're preparing for a season, especially, you know, the fact that it's only going to be Porsche's second season in this highly competitive series. But, you know, what Andre and Pascal bring to the table, shall we say, during this time is really pivotal, isn't it, to be absolutely ready for that first race weekend.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, driver in Formula E can't be overrated. I mean, this is probably the most important single factor, if you would have to pick one, that determines performance. And so obviously their role is very, very important when it comes to racing, but it's also very important in the phase in which we are now, where we are mainly testing and doing simulator sessions for the development of the whole package. And I think with the experience that they bring, that's very important for us, because with the experience they have, they know what they need to be fast. And this is very important for us. We can say what makes the car fast, no problem. But how does the car, the whole package, need to be that the driver can actually harvest that performance and harvest that performance consistently throughout the race? That's another task, or that's a whole different level. And this is where the experience of the drivers plays a vital role.
And with just a couple of months until the season will start in January 2021, what do the next couple of months have in store then for the team in terms of getting ready for the start of the season?
I mean, obviously, we still have ahead of us a bit of testing and getting the race cars ready. Do more simulator sessions, do further developments on the software side of things. And so the days will be very, very busy. Santiago comes fast, Valencia comes even faster. End of Berlin, we said to ourselves, now it was very short time from Marrakesh till actually Berlin happened. But when you think about it, from Berlin, end of season 6 to beginning of season 7 is the same time. So it's actually quite a lot of things happening in a short amount of time. And we'll be busy days, and still with, let's say, daily changing boundary conditions. So it's an ongoing challenge.
And what's the thought process? I mean, what's the general vibe, shall we say, in the camp going into the second season?
Yeah, I would say the vibe is a very positive one. I mean, everybody is really focused and motivated, and everybody wants to finally get a win and get all aspects together. I mean, we've shown that we can generally master all single aspects, but so far we have not got it all together such that we can harvest a race win. And then the fact that next year we are all together fighting for a world championship title, that of course adds an extra motivation. So I think everybody's really looking forward to season 7, and everybody's pushing really hard.
Because it's interesting to talk about the objectives, Malte, because, you know, I've spoken about this with so many previous guests on Inside E about, you know, Porsche being such an iconic sporting brand, and the success over the decades has been phenomenal. And I know you were an integral part, for example, with LMP1, most recent success in sports car racing. And I guess there's that kind of underlying, well, you might say, not say pressure, but competitiveness within the Porsche family to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the case. And the pressure or the expectations are always very high, and so is the pressure. But at the end of the day, I think we are normally generating the highest pressure ourselves, because we ideally, our expectations are always higher than the expectations come towards us from the outside. At the same time, we know that we always have to be realistic, yeah? And it's not just that we put our sticker on the car and then it goes fast. So there's a lot of work to be done, and there are serious competitors there outside. And so I think it's as you say, it's a very special situation. Expectations are always sky high, but so are ours, and we are focusing and working hard to get there. At the same time, always knowing that success is not warranted.
Well, without question, it's exciting times. Malte, it's fascinating to get your thoughts in terms of a technical insight. So I really appreciate your time and chatting to me today. And all the best to you and the team for preparations for the season ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
If you'd like more information, follow Porsche Formula E on Twitter and Instagram, or visit the Porsche newsroom. See you next time.
Inside E, Porsche Formula E podcast.